The biggest issue we have, and the first issue we have, is to find out what sort of levels of potassium we've got, because you recognize potassium is quite important in maintaining positive DCAD. We try to get or target for at least 40 milliequivalents per 100 grams of positive DCAD. And to get that, we generally need to be supplementing potassium or looking for high potassium feeds.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with nonlinear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Adasail, provider of SmartAmine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Virdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition. Vitagro, the gut health experts, rumen protected, right where it matters. Sponsored by S. Milko Inc., specialists in calf and baby farm animal nutrition, delivering precision formulated milk replacers.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Todd Calloway, and we are dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in dairy nutrition. So get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead of the curve with today's episode. So today, I'm really excited to tell you we're joined by Frank Delfino, Dr. Frank Delfino, who is the owner of Delfino Nutrition and Management. So Dr. Delfino, welcome.
Thank you.
I know you've done a lot of really cool work in the past few years looking at potassium and heat stress in lactating dairy cattle in really hot environments that, you know, we were talking about a few minutes ago. So would you mind sharing people about a little bit about it, of what you're finding and, you know, what these cattle in hot climates where potassium is going to be low? How do you drive, you know, how do your drivers for how you balance that potassium?
Well, the biggest issue we have, and the first issue we have, is to find out what sort of levels of potassium we've got, because you recognize potassium is quite important in maintaining positive DCAD. We try to get or target for at least 40 milliequivalents per 100 grams of positive DCAD. And to get that, we generally need to be supplementing potassium or looking for high potassium feeds. In many cases, in some of the places that I've worked, potassium supplements aren't available. So we have to be looking first for the high potassium feeds. And alfalfa can be a wonderful one for that. The only problem with alfalfa is that we can run anywhere from 1% to 3% potassium. So you need to know first what you've got. And a big problem in many foreign countries, or in many countries outside of the United States, is the availability of good laboratories. Many countries, or many of the countries, have outposts of the likes of Dairy One or CVAS or Dairyland Labs, but all of those are typically NIR outposts only. And we don't really have a lot of good wet chemistry unless we look at universities, we look for laboratories that might be able to give us this.
Yeah, that seems like a big problem.
It can be. They're tough to find at times. If you're actually a large dairy company, and a number of them that I've worked with have done this, they'll set up their own analytical laboratories, so they can keep track themselves of what they've got and do a better job of making sure that they know what they do have. In the event that we're low and it is getting hot, it is getting quite hot, we'll start by trying to run the DCAD the positive DCAD first up to about 30 or 35 milliequivalents per 100 grams. Using a potassium source, we run into issues, though, with that, because potassium carbonate, when it gets wet, is quite exothermic, and it tends to heat up our, especially if you've got, if you're either adding water to your ration, or if you're feeding silage and you put this in, you're going to heat your feed up, and then the cattle are going to run away. So if we can get a less reactive potassium carbonate, this would be a stabilized one, which would be, in some cases, potassium carbonate dot some number of H2O, a hydrated potassium carbonate, and there are some on the market, or coated potassium carbonates. These tend to work pretty well.
Okay.
Then comes the next issue. Mm-hmm. The next issue is getting it registered.
Ah.
We've got, in some countries, it's a serious problem getting registration. I'll give you an example. In China, even potassium carbonate, just straight old potassium carbonate, anhydrous potassium carbonate, was not authorized for use in ruminant animals. It was authorized for use in other livestock species, and it took quite some time to get approval into ruminants for some reason. Potassium chloride was great. I mean, it was readily available, but you know, it doesn't really do a lot for your DCAD. This is one issue. If you don't have the stabilized potassium carbonate available, though, there is a workaround. And what we can do, and what we've done in several places, is dissolve the potassium carbonate in water or solubilized it. It solubilizes about 1:1 on a weight basis with water. Let it cool off, and then add it to the ration. So what you're doing, if you're mixing it on a, if it's a small scale, you're mixing it on a daily basis, you mix it up the day before, and then add it to your ration as you're adding water to your ration. That tends to work. But you need, and okay, dairies have stainless steel tanks, generally spares, so you can mix up your potassium carbonate. It'll be hotter than blazes for a while, and then once it cools down, you it can be used. You don't run into the issues with feed heating this way either. If you want to put potassium carbonate into mineral premixes or into pellets, when you're keeping it in your mill, it's another issue because it's somewhat hygroscopic. And if it's in a human environment, you will get clumping. It might set up into little statues. You've got problems there that you don't really want to have to deal with.
At Barnes, we're more than just another feed additive company. We are driven by science, innovation, and an understanding of the challenges you face in the ever-changing world of animal agriculture. We are your trusted partner for new-to-market natural alternative to choline chloride, Colden Plus FC, as well as enzymes, prebiotics, probiotics, macro minerals. To learn more about our product offering, visit barnes-ne.com/animal nutrition. Together, there's always a better solution.
I understand totally. So when you're looking at the treating your different groups of cattle, your late lactation versus your fresh cattle, in this kind of environment, are you going to approach them differently, or are you going to kind of treat all of them the same with trying to get that potassium to them?
Well, we want to get potassium into all of them. Typically, the real fresh cows, I'll be looking for higher levels of potassium, higher percentages of potassium, but they're not eating as much, so I guess the quantity of potassium probably is not going to be changing too much. In the late lactation animals, most of the places I'm working with are feeding, or a lot of the places I'm working with are feeding similar rations almost to the tail enders. So we're going to be getting about the same amount of potassium in as it's going in it when it's going in as a liquid. I only have one client that is using a stabilized product, but that's because that's the only place that they got it registered, and we're able to get it. So There, we're using lower quantities on the tail enders, but not really that much lower.
Okay. Well, you mentioned this before, but how do you really approach keeping that decad, that cation anion balance in these extreme hot weather conditions you're talking about? Because, you know, you're facing that 40s to 50s centigrade, so you're talking 110, 120 degree temperatures. You know, what do you do to approach that differently?
Probably don't approach it too differently. I mean, we're looking to get a plus 40 more or less decad. Some of it will be with bicarb, and the balance will be with potassium. If it's not potassium as a feed, it'll be potassium carbonate. So there's no, I guess it isn't really magic. It's biology.
I know you can't just throw your full potassium level in. How do you walk that up in the ration level as they're getting warmer?
Well, if we're doing it with liquid, we can ramp it up slowly. We can ramp it up over a week, week and a half. If you're doing it with a powdered product or with a stabilized product, you're probably only going to do it in a couple of steps. There isn't any way if you're putting this across a whole herd, where you can easily go, especially if you've got animals coming in on a regular basis, calving on a regular basis, you're not going to be able to ramp it up for individual animals or even for small groups. Once it's hot, you're up as high as you're going to get, and even the fresh cows are going to be dropping into that. I don't see how there's much of a way that you could change that.
Yeah.
Until we can feed 1,000 animals individually, which I'm not sure we're going to do that very soon. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming along with the robots running it. But yeah, no, I agree. Well, do you see using potassium buffer as being a better value than sodium buffer? Because, you know, as we're trying to get that decad right.
I think in combination is probably the best way to do it. And it does the... It does the best job, at least some of the literature that I've seen would suggest that the combination of potassium and sodium does a more effective job of buffering. So that was work that was done, I think, in the 1980s. I'd have to go back and find it, but I believe that was when it was.
Okay, I missed that one. That's one of those things that comes around again and again, and I didn't realize it had been done in the past like that. I know you're working globally a lot more than most of us, but are those less reactive K carbonate, potassium carbonate products useful when you find them, or is that something that's just overblown?
Oh no, they're quite useful. They're again that if we can find when we can not if we can find them, we know where we can get them. You can order and get container loads shipped in. Certainly, or in a particular country, if you've got a distributor, that's great. But the issue is first registration, and secondly, then the dairymen there, just like dairymen here, are very price sensitive. Sometimes more price sensitive than they should be. If they're too price sensitive, then it's going to take a little bit of an education about why this is beneficial. But you also have to look at the markets. If you're in a strictly fluid market, when you're not too worried about maintaining fat test, in many cases, then you're not going to be looking at that unless there's a minimum fat you have to maintain, in which case potassium might come into play, or more potassium might come into play. But in a lot of markets, we're looking at strictly fluid market, so we're not worried about. Not worried about trying to get that 4% fat.
Yeah, that milk fat test doesn't bite you as much on that.
No, it certainly does. And well, the other thing is, I've had some clients say, "Oh God, we've got too much fat. You know, we're not getting paid for this. We're getting paid for, you know, we have a minimum of 3-4, or somewhere around there, and our fat's at 4. you know, let's get rid of some of it somehow.
Okay, that would be a nice problem to have for a lot of our listeners.
It certainly would.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Delfino. It's great to hear some of your experiences and, you know, gives a good new way to think on that potassium use as part of that DCAD continuum of trying to keep us on that positive end. So thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
So that concludes another episode of the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback helps us understand where we need to go next and who we need to ask questions from. So until next time, this is Todd Calloway from the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast signing off.